Broadcasting live from the San Diego Marriott Marquis and Marina, it's CEO Exclusive. Now here's your hosts, Mark Borelli and Soini Cope.
Hey, in this segment, we have with us Victor Ramsauer.
Yeah.
I apologize, Victor. And he's a CPA. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in the world of accounting that our middle market CEOs here at the Visage Executive Summit should know.
Yeah, the accounting profession, the individuals who issue the rules that we have to abide by to do financial statements have been quite busy over the last couple of years with revenue recognition and the new leasing standard. What that means to companies and CEOs is that a large block of time over the next 2 to 3 years is going to have to be allocated to implement and comply with these new rules. So you'll need to staff up, analyze the new rules, and then consult with your outside CPA. Bottom line on the revenue standard and leasing standard is that it will take time and money to implement and do it right.
Mm-hmm. And what have you seen before in terms of the ability for companies to metabolize these kinds of new regulation?
It's slow going. It really, I think, falls back on who their trusted advisors are. Primarily, in this case, their CPA firm. Our firm is being very proactive on this, and we'll be rolling out lunch and learns over this next year, primarily this summer, to bring our clients up to speed on what they need to think about and looking at their new leases or leases in place. Because if you have a company having an operating lease, they're leasing their facility. Now, under the new regulations, that lease will need to be capitalized and put on the balance sheet as an asset, and a corresponding liability will be recorded. So you'll have a right-of-use asset and an obligation to pay. What that does to companies having any kind of debt covenants with a bank, you'll have to look at your covenants and see if you're going to be in compliance and talk with the bankers so they understand what they need to do to modify the debt covenants so you stay in compliance.
And when does this take effect?
For private companies, both the leasing standard and the new revenue recognition standards come in 2020. So there's some time. If you're going to issue comparative financial statements, right, You'll need to gear it up a year early. And for the public companies, they should be thinking about it now.
Right. We're Visage, and it's largely, I would say, middle market companies, private. There are some public members, mainly they're private. And I noticed you also talk about advising people on M&A. As somebody who's somewhat involved in that industry as well, a big trend I'm trying to persuade my clients, and I'd like to know your feedback, is that given where the M&A market is today, getting quality of earnings done before you go to market is becoming a key thing, because buyers are getting, while they're paying high premiums, they're definitely nervous.
So quality of earnings, just kind of define what that is. Folks who are listening.
I would say quality of earnings means that the numbers have been scrubbed and you're giving accurate information on a historical basis to investors or a potential buyer.
And it's not quite an audit. It's not going through the balance sheet as much, but it's looking at the earnings.
Yeah, I've worked on deals from, on the small side, $3 million up to $175 million. The one issue that always comes into play is revenue recognition and the quality of earnings. If there's a chink in the armor for a company who's looking at being acquired, or from a buyer's standpoint, it's always going to be in revenue recognition.
Yeah, it's a challenge for companies to think about, and I think the problem for a lot of them, and again, this is something you probably see, is that the owners don't think about it that way because it's their business. So they just kind of very happy with the way they, as long as they file a tax return, that's really all they have to worry about.
Yeah, a lot of companies do not, for whatever reason, don't need audited financial statements. And so that scrutiny or third-party input from a CPA isn't always there. So they're tax-driven, which doesn't always match up with what a buyer wants to see, having financial statements or information in accordance with the generally accepted accounting principles.
So for CEOs who, are kind of really focused on growing their business and making money and not necessarily on quality of earnings and their balance sheet and the, having their I's dotted and their T's crossed, how or when would you say that they should start to really engage with this information, or how can they parallel process and make sure that the quality of the reporting is always, you know, in line, and they're basically ready to sell at any time?
I would say sooner rather than later.
Of course, you're an accountant.
but if you're looking at
you wouldn't be a good accountant if you said anything else.
Oh, I know. If you're looking at a liquidity event or bringing in a large investor, I would say at a minimum, you need to address it 3 years in advance, both from a reporting standpoint and making sure you have depth of management. 3 to 5 years is kind of the runway on stuff like this.
You know, another question I'd like to ask you, because I'm a Vista chair and I have members in this field, and I deal with a lot of small companies, and the one question I always have, and I try and get accountants to educate them, is a lot of people have bookkeepers or controllers who they quasi give the title CFO to, who have very creative accounting concepts. And when you're helping these people find somebody to come in and play that role, because they're not big enough to have a true CFO, what should they look for? Because, you know, you look at some of these financial reports, and this person is, they're trying their best, but really the numbers are not anywhere close to what they should be for, you know, measurement.
We oftentimes will recommend one of the outsourced or temporary CFO services. There are a number of groups here in San Diego that do a very good job. For a smaller company, they don't need and can't afford a full-time CFO. Having a bookkeeper on staff, you know, on site full-time, and then having the oversight by a temp CFO makes a big difference. And then when the CPAs come in, you get a much better product. And it saves money long term. If our firm has to come in, start an audit, pull off, get things sanitized or corrected, it tends to run up the bill. So we try to avoid that.
So as an executive yourself, I mean, you have an office that I believe has about 40 people.
Yes, yeah? Ma'am.
The theme of today's event is bold leadership. And so as you think about leading your staff, what's your approach to bold leadership?
Well, our firm tries to empower our folks, give them both the support and technical education they need so they can do their job. We really want our staff, our employees, to be engaged with our clients, to know our clients. We try to get out and see them as much as we can. So I think by empowering our staff, both on the tax and audit side, it allows them to be much more functional, deliver a better product to our client.
And I see you're celebrating 50 years. So what do you put that longevity down to?
A lot of hard work. Now, I am not a founder of the firm, but I'm second generation in. The firm was founded by Stan Levitz 50 years ago, and it grew. I came on board in 85 to start the auditing department. And I think our long-term growth and history relates to, one, hiring the right people, setting the right tone from the top down, and then the client base. We have great clients. They're interesting, they're engaging, they're fun to work with. So with that kind of environment, it's a good growth curve.
How do you go about hiring the right people?
Very carefully. You have to take your time, know what you're looking for, properly vet them, and do a background investigation to make sure you know what you're getting. And they have to be not only the right technical mix for the firm, but have the right personality to fit in.
And going to your other point about your great clients, how do you make sure you've got great clients? Do you fire quite a few of them because they don't fit?
It fits in with the hiring model that we do with our personnel. Is when you accept a client, you also need to go through the same process of vetting. Do they fit the profile you want as a client? Some people are risk takers and don't always want to abide by the tax laws. We do not accept clients like that. So we're very, very creative and work with the tax laws. But if people want to cross the line, they're not the right client. So it's the same routine. We try to bring in a client that'll stay with us for long term.
And so as you think about what's next for Levitt Zacks, like, what do you expect is going to come up in the future? What are you planning for your practice and for the firm?
Growing our managers and seniors underneath so they're ready to step into the role as partner. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be here forever, definitely. So you need to look to internally to grow your firm. We have grown by growing our own, not by acquisition, and we would like to continue to do that.
So tell us a little bit about that approach to successorship. How are you growing that bench of lieutenants that can eventually become generals?
It really comes down to our hiring process, mm-hmm. where we look at the individual both now from their current ability and what we expect or think they can do long term, and then try to give them the right tools, training, and put them in situations where they can actually grow and step up to the plate. I found that people, if you give them the opportunity, can rise to the occasion.
Great. Well, thank you so much for a very informative interview and for telling us about some of these tax changes that are going to be coming up in the next couple of years.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Victor. Good luck.
This show is brought to you by Annona Enterprises, where strategy is your access to money and performance. Learn more at annonaenterprises.com.